could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff. Exactly. Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
This is the King David Show with Sean King.
I would rather you refer to me as Big Sexy.
And Toby David.
His rationale is what Cuba loves.
On 1010 CBS Sports Radio.
Disaster. Catastrophe. Embarrassment. It's one thing to get rolled by good NFL teams, teams with talent, a team like the Texans, Matt Schaub, Arian Foster. It's one thing to get rolled by some of the more potent offenses in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints. And the Panthers do have a nice offense. But for the Bucs to get rolled, straight up dominated, the way they were at home yesterday, it's an absolute embarrassment. Now you hear them. Now you hear everybody coming out of the woodwork, chirping, saying that Raheem Morris should be fired. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Raheem Morris doesn't deserve any criticism for the way this team is playing, but it was a very short time ago, less than a year, less than 12 months. Raheem Morris, everyone in this area, 99% of the people said he should be NFL Coach of the Year. Yet many of you out there now, within 1 year, wanting the same man that you said should be Coach of the Year fired. With the youngest team in the NFL, coming off an offseason with zero workouts, no veterans, no talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and because they're getting rolled, you want him fired. Now, some of you want a new defensive coordinator. I'm not saying that would be a bad idea. I'm just saying, look what he has to work with. Very little. So everybody calling for Raheem Morris's head, unless those same people are calling for Mark Dominic's head, I just don't buy in to their credibility. Because if you think this team has been loaded with talent and that Raheem Morris is the problem, you're watching a different team than I'm watching. We're going to talk a lot about the Bucs on the show today, and there's a lot of people, as I just mentioned, that are calling for Raheem Morris's head, and it all starting in the media. We said this 6 weeks ago. Just wait. Just wait to see this team start losing and whose head they'll call for. The same coach who last year many of you were pissed off when Bill Belichick got NFL Coach of the Year, thinking that a guy like Raheem Morris that could take this team to 10 wins with that little talent, that many young players.
Don't say that out loud.
Less than 12 months later.
I promise you that. If you got a buddy that wants to hear the truth, you should tune in today. Brittany Lincecum, a good friend of mine, is having a charity golf tournament out at Pasadena Yacht Club that I'm supposed to be at. But because of some of you local clowns covering the Bucks, I'm going to be an hour late getting to that because I got to come in here and actually put some fact out there where there's nothing but perception and innuendo. And Brian Price, don't think you're not a part of this bullseye today. Yeah, you and your little honey, Chuck Price. Don't worry, we're going to get him too.
Brian Price's agent?
Yeah, Pat Jasinski writes, Brian Price's agent contacted me. Really? Oh, you contacted Pat. Did you do that when Price showed up 35 pounds heavy and couldn't practice the first part of training camp because he was so fat and out of shape? Oh, yeah, I saw the little article. I hear all the little whispers. Oh, you know what? Why is he getting mad at Brian Price? I mean, Brian Price is fighting through an injury. Oh, so Brian Price is the only player in the National Football League that got hurt last year. So everybody that's actually playing right now, they got hurt last year in the National Football League, should get a pass for any kind of behavior. You know, I like to make analogies that apply to corporate America. The job environment in corporate America can change. Oh, why did he single out Brian Price and not Aqib Talib this offseason? Because they weren't 4-8 this offseason. Why didn't he ever do that to Jeremy Trueblood? Because this year, Jeremy Trueblood has actually gotten his act together and hadn't been a part of the foolishness after the whistle blows. For the last 3 weeks, Raheem has been hunting and hooing about lack of discipline, about getting dumb personal foul penalties after the whistle. You understand your job environment. Now, when you disregard what's been a priority from the head coach the last couple weeks and go out and do the same thing, Raheem Morris has every right to kick your butt off the sideline. I talk to you guys all the time about expectation and standard. Now, the one thing I do blame Raheem for is because the first day he walked in the door, he should have made his expectation and standard crystal clear and should have never compromised it. But some of you seem to forget that he was forced by Mark Dominic to hire Jim Bates as the defensive coordinator. Some of you forget that he was forced by Mark Dominic to bring in Jeff Jagodinski as offensive coordinator. I mean, I don't know if you guys got like some kind of memory issues or something, but it's amazing how you forget. Oh, this is all Raheem Morris's fault. Yeah, he gave Michael Clayton an extension. Yeah, he spent big money to bring in Derek Ward. Oh, my bad. You know what? He traded for and made Kellen Winslow the highest paid tight end in the National Football League at the time. That's all Raheem Morris. Now, if you want to get mad at Raheem, fine. I don't have any problem with it at all, but there's no way that Mark Dominic is not culpable in this mess. The same guy you guys were pulling for said, you know what, he should be getting some Coach of the Year votes. That's the same guy on the sideline right now that's trying to fix a battleship that's got a big hole in it and is sinking. You put a roster together with no veteran presence, it is impossible to sustain discipline. I don't care who the head coach is. You show me another team in the National Football League that has no veteran presence in the locker room. You guys think discipline comes from the head coach. No, the mandate for discipline comes from the head coach. The actual implementation of the discipline comes from your peers. That happens when you guys as a group are out during the week having the little position dinner that all teams have. That's when the real conversation goes, happens, occurs. That's when the real dialogue. So don't sit here and tell me about Raheem this, Raheem that. That's a bunch of poo-poo. If you think Raheem should go, then I'm going to ask you a question. You guys can hit us up, 888-44-1010, 727-579-1010. Text into the show at 44010. This is what I want you to tell me. If you think Raheem should go, then you promise me that when we bring in a new coach, we won't make a roster move whatsoever. I want the new coach to have this same collection of non-talented athletes that Raheem is working with, and then you judge him based upon the results he gets with this team. I keep telling you, the head coach should be fired when the players are underachieving. I don't know why I keep having to say this. Yeah, they are terrible on defense right now because they don't have good players. Some of their young players, in spite of this environment, look like they're trying to develop. Daquan Bowers, a guy who we've had to show patience with because he obviously physically wasn't 100% coming into the year. He's getting better. Adrian Claiborne has been a bright spot from the beginning. Mason Foster looks like, okay, if he continues to improve, he's going to be a good player. But I just want you to take a step back for a second and let's analyze and evaluate this thing from a different angle and aspect. He shouldn't have kicked Brian Price off the sideline? Why? behavior that was acceptable on your job in January, if there's something that occurs, if the bottom line starts to change, that behavior may not be acceptable come November, December. And if you get an email from the boss that says this behavior is no longer acceptable, regardless of what happened in January and February, as an employee, you should adhere to that email. Otherwise, there are consequences and repercussions. Brian Price has been in the meeting room the last couple of weeks when Raheem has been adamant that this will no longer be tolerated or accepted. So when you go out and you do it after it's been made crystal clear that things are changing around here, then you've got to accept the repercussions and consequences. And Chuck Price, I think you're a clown. That's Brian Price's agent. Oh, you calling Pat Jasinski. You calling Stephen Holder. Well, you know what? Brian Price said that he loves Raheem. Well, if he loves Raheem, why is he not doing what he's telling him to do? Tell you like my mama used to tell me, if you love me, then do what I say. If you got real love for your head coach, you see he in deep water, you see the sharks circling, you know he's been preaching, okay, we got to stop these dumb, unnecessary penalties, then why go and get a dumb, unnecessary penalty? You heard what Tony Dungy said after the Indicame Sioux. He said the head coach, Coach Schwartz, is responsible. He can rectify that. I didn't hear any of you guys calling out Tony Dungy because he's telling the truth. At some point, the environment and atmosphere around the team changes based upon the end result. Even if you're a player's coach, okay, I give you guys leeway. I allow you guys to have your own personality, but it's based upon us winning games. When we stop winning games, things are going to change. If you don't want to get on board with how things are changing, then you better win. Otherwise, you know what? I'm going to evolve and change. And don't sit here and tell me that Mark Domanik is culpable in the Bucks being 4-8. From a talent standpoint, we're not as talented as the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers lineup, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Olsen at tight end, Shockey is the backup tight end, Steve Smith at wide receiver. And it hurts me to say it, but Cam Newton's better than Josh Freeman right now. If you want to hit the show up, 888-404-1010, 727-579-1010, text into the show at 44010. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Real Sean King.
And what I find amazing is the same people that are criticizing Raheem Morris for throwing Brian Price out of that game. Those same people are the same ones who criticize Raheem Morris for having a lack of discipline. They talk about how this team is one of the leading penalized teams in the league. Typically that happens with young players. So they say Raheem is undisciplined. He has an undisciplined team. When he actually disciplines one of his players for committing an idiotic personal foul penalty, taking away a sack by Geno Hayes, then people criticize him for that. It is a no-win situation. And again, Raheem Morris is certainly culpable here. But why is he the only name being said? It's almost like some in the media are getting their marching orders from elsewhere. Why would you start with Raheem Morris? Do those people in the media think this is a talented football team? Can you watch that game out there and think that that defense is good? Now, before we get to the phone lines, let me just say this. You opened up a season after a lockout, no offseason workouts, with two rookies at defensive end, Daquan Bowers and Adrian Claiborne, your two interior tackles. This is what the management wanted as starters. Two second-year players in Price and McCoy. At linebacker, you've got Geno Hayes and an overpaid garbage, Quincy Black, a rookie at middle linebacker. So your front seven are three rookies, two second-year players, and two garbage linebackers, one of whom you just extended. Then in the secondary, you have a talented Aqib Talib, seventh-round pick Cody Grimm, an old Rondé Barber, and a mediocre at best Sean Jones. Where is the talent on this defense? If it's talented, it's young and untapped, and you didn't even have a chance to work them out in the offseason. We don't know if these guys can play, but I don't know how people can criticize just Raheem Morris. I'm cool with you criticizing Raheem Morris, but it's a lot more complicated than the simplistic way people are just targeting him right now. Remember, this is a guy that just less than a year ago, many of you said was the coach of the year, and now you guys want him off this team. To me, that's fascinating. Let's go out to the phone lines. Big Reg, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, bro?
Yo, Raheem didn't get stupid in 365 days. The same coach that coached the 10-6 team last year is coaching this team this year. But he's going into the fight with one hand tied behind his back and a blind a mask over his face where he can't see. If you're not giving him anything, how much can he do?
I agree with you, Reg. And it baffles me that the football intelligence of the group covering the Bucks ain't higher than it is.
And the thing is, you never, ever have a team that's full of rookies or second-year guys. Who is their lead to follow from? A coach can coach, but you need to have a professional in each kind of position to show them how to be a professional. How can a first-year guy learn from a second-year guy? He ain't learned nothing but one year. That's all he's learned.
I agree with you completely, Reg. Thanks for the call. I've said that from the beginning. You only listen to the coach so much. Josh Freeman needs a veteran quarterback to show him how to be a pro. He's never had anyone to mentor him. That young defensive line. Gerald McCoy is going to teach Brian Price, who's going to teach Daquan Bowers, and who's going to teach Adrian Claiborne how to be a pro. Like, what it takes during the course of a 16-game season to keep your body healthy, to understand schematically what we're trying to do, to understand my position, what are the requirements for it, what are my responsibilities, how does that all integrate into what the defense is trying to do as a whole? Why is it important that I'm in this gap? Do I understand what's happening behind me? Like, your coach going to show it to you, but you need somebody who you can look at. Okay, let me do what he's doing on Tuesday. That's an off day. Let me do what he's doing on Monday. And don't dare put Brian Price up like he's some kind of sacrificial lamb. I didn't hear Chuck Price calling Stephen Holder or Pat Jasinski when Price showed up 35 pounds overweight, couldn't even practice because he had to go on the other field and lose some weight because he got too tired too quick. Go back and pull up the UCLA diagnosis of him coming into the draft. Why did he slip to the second round? Why is he available? Go back and read it. Brian Price has a history as a Bruin of being a sometimes player. When he plays hard, he's an elite player, but he doesn't play with a high motor. Go back and read it. And you want to put him in front? The work environment has changed, Brian Price. When the boss sends an email to your desk, I don't care what the status quo was before that email, you're getting judged on a different set of parameters post-email. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Sean, I just want to say I love you on Versus. I think you're a really good announcer. I enjoy listening to you. Okay, but I can't disagree with you more about Raheem. Raheem is a good coach. He proved it last year with just about the same amount of talent he's got now. But for some reason, and I'm not saying Mark Domenech is not culpable. Absolutely he's culpable. But for some reason, for whatever reason, he has lost the ear of this team. And you've got to put it on the head coach. You have to. Who else are you going to put it on? And I understand Mark Domenech, you know, he's working with nothing, and Domenech is just as much to blame. But for whatever reason, Raheem's players are not listening to him, and he's got to take the responsibility, and he's got to say, look, you know what? He's lost the ear of the team. He has lost the ear of his team, and it doesn't look like he's going to get it back. So who else are you going to blame?
First of all, Mike, the ear of what team? None of these guys going to be here next year. The majority of guys that lined up as starters yesterday versus the Carolina Panthers will not be here next year.
And Raheem should have gotten Coach of the Year last year. I think he should have. But this year, for whatever reason, I don't know what the problem is. And he should not have singled out Price. Even Jeff Fain said that in the locker room.
Who is
he
Jeff Fain? What has Jeff Fain done this year?
Nothing.
Nothing. Who is he?
Right.
Who cares what Jeff Fain says? Who is he?
I understand that.
He to tell Raheem Morris who he should and should not call out? Well, you work. You're in corporate America, Mike, right?
Well, not really, but what? I understand what you're saying.
Well, you have been, right? Thanks for the call. You guys in corporate America, okay, the work environment is one thing, January to October. Okay, something happens at the job. The boss sends out a mass email that, okay, this behavior is no longer acceptable. Things are changing. You got a choice to make. If you continue with that behavior, you can't get mad at the boss. He sent you an email, didn't he? Jay, what's up?
Yeah, I just want to say that I appreciate you guys' analysis, because there's been one thing that's worse than the bus playing. It's been the analysis. At least you guys have the feet on the ground. I can't feel since after the Green Bay game. There were so many so-called analysts in the area who were so excited about the body language, and they played the Packers close. You played the Packers close because Aaron Rodgers had a turnover day. He was missing receivers all over the place, not because of pressure, not because of coverage, because he had a bad day. And people were running the table. They had got all the way to the Dallas game. We could beat Tony Romo because they automatically beat Carolina twice, and Texas was with no stumbling block at all. And I'm thinking at the time, how they going to keep them getting blown out the next six games? But anyway.
All right, Jay, appreciate it. Jay was rambling there.
We're going to take a quick break. We got a very interesting text. It says, who does King think won't be on this team next year? I'll let you know right after the break. Keep it locked. King David Show.